Well, let us share what God has given. Where'd Mike go? Oh, there he is. There's Mike.
Yeah, I guess I've got a few things I could say. I usually write down as the meeting's going on, you know, I write down a few little things that I have some thoughts on. And one of them was you asked the question, can we eat pork? And I had a doctor stay at my house one time years ago. And he told me that when a person has cancer, their blood displays a certain characteristic under a microscope. And he said that he had found out that when a person had eaten pork, their blood displays that same characteristic. So it's almost like the pork is trying to give you cancer. But if your immune system is good and you're healthy, it usually just fights it off. And so the answer to the question is, can you eat pork? Yeah, you can, but it might not be healthy for you. And it's just like sugar. Sugar is not healthy for us, but we can eat that. And so a lot of times the question isn't really, can you have it? It's like, should you have it? You know, it's like the healthier we eat, the better we feel and the better our minds work and all that kind of a thing. And then another thing was we read the scripture, never learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There's a woman that I know here in my hometown. She actually lives just down the street. And she's always doing all kinds of things, spiritual things, you know, like having meetings at her house and inviting speakers to come there. And I mean, really, you know, really doing, trying hard and doing a lot of things. And one day I was driving by her house and I was, as I went by, I was thinking about her. And the thought that I had was, boy, she really does a lot for the Lord. And as I thought that, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And what I thought of is the difference between true and truth. Some things are true, but they're not always the truth. And here's an example. Let's say you see somebody in the grocery store, and to you, it's an undesirable. You know, you don't want to spend a bunch of time talking to them, or for whatever reason, they're an undesirable to you. And they say to you, oh, could you come over to my house today and, you know, just visit with me a little bit or whatever? And you say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I've got a dentist appointment today. Well, you do have a dentist appointment, but it's at 8:30 in the morning. So you'd have the whole rest of the day to go over there. So what you told her was true, but it wasn't the truth. The truth was you didn't want to go over there. And God knows the difference between true and truth. And so when that scripture says ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, you know, this person that, you know, does all this work, you tell them anything about God and they fight you on everything you tell them. And then let's see, what else did I put down here? I found it interesting. Mark mentioned the wording, the unjust judge. Well, I saw this thing the other day. There was a lawyer, I guess it would be, that was working a current case for his client. And so he wanted some advice. And so as he was coming up through the ranks as a lawyer, there was a lawyer that was much older than him and really wise, and he knew all about the workings of the courts and all that kind of a thing. So he went to him to get some advice. So he starts telling about the case. And the guy stops him and he says, don't bother telling me the facts. Just tell me who's the judge. And I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? You know, it's like, and the point I want to make from that is we know who God is. We know he's not an unjust judge. He's the real judge, and he's going to judge righteously. So there's not going to be any fooling him. The last thing is we mentioned the word, or Mark mentioned the fact that there's some people that says, oh, we can't be perfect. No sense in even striving for it. Well, something that's really big to me is so many of our questions can be answered by just knowing who God is. And here's what I mean by that. Would God ever ask you to do something that would be impossible for you to do? Absolutely not. And the way you know that is because you know who God is. So when the Bible says, be thou perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, that answers the question, is it possible to be perfect? Yes. Would God ask you to do something that's impossible to do? No. So that answers the question. It's possible. We can be. It's not easy, but it is possible. So it's so important to know God and who he is, because it can answer so many of our questions. So that's it from me today.
You know, Mike, truth and true. Truth might be the facts, okay? The fact is, you might know something about me 40 years ago, 50, whatever. You might say, well, Brother Mark sinned. And there was a time I did. Okay, I know about Mike. Yeah, he sinned back there in 1960 or whatever. I know about Larry. Yeah, I know he did thus and thus. And boy, those are the facts. Now, is that the truth? The truth is no, because that's under the blood. And God doesn't even know that anymore. He forgot about it. So truth is greater than the facts. Well, come on, brethren, we've got more. We got a lot of time here yet.
I just kind of wanted to add a little bit more about leaving your first love. In my chair, I was sitting there thinking, you know, when we first get saved, it's God's love that overwhelms us, and our emotions are so high, and everything seems to be going our way, and he answers every prayer. He's there at every moment. He's there at everything. And so, of course, we love God. But as the years go on, the trials come, the troubles come, the infirmities come, the this and the that, and the pressures and the testing. And I don't believe the love is, we don't leave that love. I believe the love through all of that grows deeper, it grows stronger. And it's not because he's doing all these wonderful things for us that we love him. We love him even when we're going through the darkest, deepest valleys, through the hardest trials. We can still love him, and it's even greater and deeper than we've ever known. And it's solid. It's something you can stand on, and it's steady. And I think that's where I wanted to say, was that the love grows deeper, stronger, steadier, and it doesn't fail. Amen.
And you know, with man, if it's not based on the love of God, the love of the carnal love of man can be a betrayal, because men, I'm not meaning males, men and women betray one another. We're not like God. Have we come to an end today? Any
Brother
other?
Mark,
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
From the standpoint where we are as a people that believe this end time message, is it possible for there to come a falling away? Regarding all that you have listed as some of the descriptions of falling away, is there a possibility that this spirit of falling away or apostasy can sweep into our realm of belief as a people that have the end time message? Just a question.
Well, I'm sure you have the answer to that too, brother. You surely know it is possible. And this is why I read all these passages, especially that last one in Hebrews, that we not let it slip, that it just drifts away from us.
You know, brethren, Jesus warned over and over again about deception. And it's because, you know, the deception is so great that that has come upon the world, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, Satan, you know, is the architect and, you know, the person of deception.
Author.
And we can, you know, we should never think of ourselves as beyond that. You know, this is why it says, you know, in scripture, when warned over and over again, you know, that don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought. And you have to realize that in us, we are so fragile and frail that in ourselves, that we have to depend upon our Lord Jesus Christ to protect us. He's the one that can keep us from this great deception if we continue to look to him. And one other thing I wanted to say about this being perfect, it really depends upon, you know, what do you mean by when Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. Remember, this was in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not at the end, but it's in the middle. But he did a lot of teachings about many, many facets of life and how we are to conduct ourselves in life. And so, with each avenue, with each event that happens in our life, with each responsibility, it says, you know, he says we have to come to a place of perfection. Okay, so that perfect, the meaning of that in the Greek is the word teleos, and it means mature in Christ, lacking nothing. In other words, all these things that we ought to do as we walk through life and we meet people and different situations, remember that what Jesus said about it, and we are to not only know that, but we're to walk in that. In other words, we come to a place where we are so mature in Christ that we're not lacking his life and his benefit and his blessings to help us overcome all these things. So the onus, well, I guess what I'm trying to say, the onus, you know, You know, I hear this all, you know, about sons of God and what we have to do. But really, the onus is on Jesus Christ. You know, he's the one that has to carry us through. We can only do so much. But the main thing we have to do is to continue to look to him and depend upon him, because he can do what we can't do. Without him, we can do nothing.
Amen. You know, talking about perfection in coming to maturity, I remember when we were in the building there, and there was a woman that was coming quite regularly, and always a prayer request, wanting something. And we did a lot of praying for this woman. And I was in the little kitchen between the two rooms. And she came in one day and she said, I forget what it was. She wanted prayer about something. And I said, Sister, if you want to have, I don't even know what it was. If you want to have these prayers answered, you're going to have to agree to come to maturity. In other words, you're going to have to grow up. And I couldn't believe it. She turned to me and she says, no, I don't want to grow up. I want to be just like I am now. And I turned back and I said to her, then there is nothing more I can do in praying for you, because I've come as far as we can come, unless you're willing to come to maturity. Straight out, no, I don't want to. I couldn't believe it.
I've got one more little thing to add about the question, can we fall away? You know, there's a common belief in the church world that they'll say a Christian can't have a devil. And I think Seth used to say it the best. He said a Christian can have anything he wants to.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're talking about apostasy of the church, but it also opens the door to the falling away of the individual. And we have this verse in Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 4. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now they've really tasted the good stuff here. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, when you take this verse to a good Baptist, a good Calvinist, and say, it says right here that if you fall away, and they answer, well, that just says if you fall away. Well, come now, God isn't interested in telling us hypothetical things that cannot happen. This happens. And, you know, I'll never forget, it was back in the 1970s, I don't know, probably about 75, 76, that I became acquainted with a pastor of a full gospel church. It was a good church. And I was beginning to get to know. Now, I wasn't going to his church, by the way. I was working at the hospital, and these men would come to the hospital for various business of praying for their people and what have you. And I would meet them and get acquainted with them. I couldn't believe it. One day this man came in and he said, I have, how did he say it? I have, he wrote a book, why I went back, I don't know how he said it, why I went back on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why I don't believe it anymore, why I wouldn't read his book. But he wrote a book about it. And I was quite new in the things of the Spirit in those days. And I thought to myself, how in the world can this poor man do it? He was a nice man. He seemed to be a good man. But it was such a shock to me to find that a man had turned away from the things of the Spirit purposely turning away. Well, you know, the assembly didn't have him very long after that. It put him out. So, yes, the apostasy has fully come, not just on one or two individuals, not just on a couple of leaders, but it has spread throughout the body of Christ. We have only to see the man of sin become manifest. And by the way, you know, let's understand the word manifest here. I want to take you to Romans, because manifest is a good word. It means to appear, like it's been there, but we never saw it, and suddenly it is exposed. In Romans 8, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Come on, just feed on that verse there a little bit. Glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Now there's people that go around and say, that's a cult. It's called Manifest Sons of God. Well, maybe there is a group that's got it wrong that calls themselves Manifest Sons of God. But nevertheless, it's the verse in Romans. It's God's word. God meant it. God said it. It's going to happen to the sons of God. They are going to be manifest at the time there will be a coming of Christ into us, not in the world. The world isn't going to see it. But before the world sees it, it's going to come into the sons of God, and they are going to be manifest. In the same way that Paul has said in Corinthians that the man of sin will be manifest. He's on the scene now. I'm convinced. He's here. He's on the scene. But there will come a time when he will be manifest. And there will come a time when we will be manifest, the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Anybody else have something to add? Well, let me turn the recording off.